The 2024 NFL Draft heads to Detroit, and it's time to see who gets the job.
Caleb is a unique and special talent throwing the football.
And what sets them apart.
The Heisman Trophy winner is Jaden Daniels.
All of the greats were hired here.
What a throw by Mahomes.
See who gets the job.
Are you ready?
The 2024 NFL Draft begins Thursday, April 25th on ESPN, ABC, and NFL Network.
Welcome into the latest edition of ESPN FC. I'm Dan Thomas, joined in the studio today by former US international Yanis Mihalek. And we'll kick things off with international football and a surprise in the Nations League as Denmark beat France by 2-0. Oh, what a great day to have the French contingent with us. Frank Leboeuf and Jules joins the show. Jules, what went wrong for your boys?
Well, a lot of things, especially in that first half, Dan, especially between the 15th minute, because actually the start of the game was pretty good. Mbappe had a chance. Griezmann had the chance as well, who was captain for the first time in his international career. And then after the first quarter of an hour, then they stopped playing. And they could not get out of their own half. The pressure and the press from Denmark, to be fair, worked well. But it was really, really poor from France. Lazy, like the defending from Upamecano on the first goal. Lazy on set pieces where they kept being under pressure. They could not really read. It was pretty simple that they were blocking Tchouaméni for Delaney. And every time he had a free header, like we saw on the second goal again. But even before that, they could have scored Denmark on set pieces. And then there was just nothing between the 15th minute and the 45th minute for France. It was ridiculous. I don't think that Deschamps' choices, especially defensively, helped. I think starting with Saliba, Upamecano and Badiashile, between all of them, I think this is 11 caps. And 21, 23 and 21 years of age was not the right call against a team like that at home with a lot of momentum, with a lot of really good players. This Denmark team is really, really good. And I think that first half showed the limits of Deschamps tonight and of the national team as well.
Lazy, is that a good word to sum it up, Frank?
I can understand what Julian means, but I would say that the word inexperienced really means when you see the team. They've been lazy because I think they were lost. They played well for like 20, 25 minutes, as Gilles explained, and then after they lost the momentum and their mojo, and the Danes were... They show more experience, more initiatives, and more creation in their actions. And France didn't exist at all. But when you start with three players like Saliba, Upamecano, and Badiashile, you of course you face inexperience, and you're gonna have issues. And it's what really happened to the French national team. I'm not trying to find any excuses. Especially because next Tuesday I will be in Copenhagen in Denmark for 3 days. So I'm going to be teased by all Danes. But we'll have to face the reality of it. The French national team that we see now is not the champion of the world team, and is not going to be, hopefully, the team we're going to see during the World Cup. Because you have, again, I repeat that, 15 injured players from the team who normally is going to go to the World Cup.
What are you doing in Copenhagen? Marbles?
No. There is a FIFA event, and I've got to have to spend 3 days in Denmark, in Copenhagen. I'm going to see the Little Mermaids, and I will kiss her from you.
Oh, well, thank you very much for that. Back to the injuries, Jules. How much is that an excuse for this performance?
I don't think excuse is the right word, but it's a fact, really, that tonight, like Frank said, is probably France's C team, maybe D team. For most of it, really, of course, there's Mbappe and Griezmann, for example, who will start at the World Cup, and Tchouaméni probably. But for the rest, none of the others who started tonight are certain to start the first game against Australia in Doha. So, of course, it's a fact. I think Deschamps had to do, to do with what he had, which, of course, you don't have Benzema or Pogba or Kante or Kimpembe or Lloris, and the list goes on and on and on. But yet, this is still the French national team with a lot of depth, with a lot of talent, that could have dealt with that moment of pressure of that 20, 25, 30 minutes in that first half better. Even if they're young, even if for a lot of them this is all new, this is a first, second, third cap, fourth cap, okay, I get that, but still you expected better from them. So they will learn. They will learn from here. The most important, I think, for Deschamps tonight was not to be relegated. That's all he cared about. There was nothing really else to play for. So he'd be happy by the fact that Austria lost to Croatia, that we're still in the top division in the Nations League, and that you can already forget about tonight almost. And I think about the World Cup and have your fingers crossed that all the injured players come back in really good fitness and good shape for the World Cup.
What's happened to Upamecano, Frank? Obviously fantastic at Leipzig, hasn't exactly established himself as a first-choice defender at Bayern. We saw that mistake today. I understand he's young, but there was so much excitement around him, wasn't there, when he was at Leipzig and they went on that Champions League run. He doesn't seem to have kind of kicked on from there.
Well, there are teams who are, and clubs who are like kind of family, and that's what happens in Leipzig, where you feel you're at home and you feel secure and comfortable in a way, and you can express yourself. When then you reach Bayern Munich, and if you're lucky, the French national team, but there is not family. There it's competition, it's results, it's the best of the best, and you have to be ready for that and up for that every weekend and even in the middle of the week. So it's what happens to him. I think he has to settle down. He has to get a bit more of experience, and he's going to go there because he's going to get there because he's talented. But he needs sometimes to settle again, and it can happen to many players. You know, we saw Saliba struggling for 2 years when he was in Arsenal. Last year with Marseille, he finally found himself. And it's going to happen the same, hopefully, to Upamecano. And it can happen to any players that they need like a year, hopefully not two, to understand how it works and settle better down.
Is that fair, Yanish?
Yeah, I think so. And who knows, maybe the absence of Luca Hernandez is important, both for club and country, right? I mean, we don't know what Didier Deschamps will do, but I think it does happen. I look at Upamecano, I remember Ibrahima Konate, two youngsters who struggled at Leipzig, by the way, with injuries and with playing sometimes. And Konate took him a while to kind of get used to Liverpool, right? Then he did, and injuries again. So these are very, very young players still. So it takes time sometimes.
Of course, as we mentioned, no Paul Pogba
Dan,
for this.
Dan, I'm sorry to cut you off, Dan, but Dan, you have the example of Nkunku being in Paris Saint-Germain and struggling when he was playing there, not finding his rhythm, and going to Leipzig and finally find that family club and expressing himself the best way. The question mark for him, for Nkunku, is how he's going to behave when he's going to reach the best of the best in terms of clubs and maybe have a room in with the national team as well.
Thank you, Frank. Back to what I was saying. Paul Pogba, of course, not included in the team, Jules, because of the injury and the operation. However, revelations this weekend that he has used a witch doctor in the past. This, of course, in reference to the Kylian Mbappe curse. But he didn't do it against Kylian Mbappe. Is that right?
Well, he did in a way when United played PSG in the Champions League, that famous second leg, really. And I think the idea from Paul was, and we said it, the witch doctor, the all that witchcrafting, the voodoo would be to protect him from injuries, which we said before, he wasted his money clearly, but he believed in it. Okay, fair enough. And then I think there were times where also to win matches, he would get the help of witchcraft, which, by the way, has happened not quite often, but at times in France, the Montpellier of Loulou Nicolin, the one that won the league in 2012, for example, Nicolin used to go and see this witch doctor at PSG when Michel Denisot was the president at the time in the 90s. He also called upon a quite famous witch doctor in Paris. So we have those stories in France where we're not really sure really if they... We think they're true. We're not completely convinced. Does it really work? We're not sure. But clearly for Paul Pogba, it seems quite clear now whether it's coming from his brother. And we know what was happening between the two Pogba brothers. But it's pretty clear that Paul Pogba used a witch doctor. And it might have been advised to do so by Serge Aurier, the former Spurs and the current Ivory Coast and Nottingham Forest defender, and also Alou Diarra, the former French international.
Jules, a source from the French Federation saying there's no smoke without fire. How much of a problem is this for France?
Well, I think if Paul Pogba can convince Kylian Mbappe, which they've spoken about it already over the phone at the beginning of this incredible story of this Pogba family incident, or call it whatever you want, affair, whatever. If Mbappe doesn't think that Pogba put a curse on himself directly, like for him not to perform, let's put it that way, then I think he's fine. If there's no beef really between Pogba and Mbappe, I think we're fine. What Deschamps is worried about right now is, okay, Paul's fitness, and I'm being told that he's hoping to come back at the end of October to have enough time to be fully ready for the start of the World Cup. Okay, let's hope that. But for Deschamps, the biggest worry is not so much the fitness, because that can come back and Pogba could be really ready to go for that Australia game that we mentioned before. It's psychologically. What kind of Paul Pogba do you get psychologically after having been through all of this, all these things, the police protection, the brother who manages, by the way, to post videos while he's in jail on social media to say, hey, this is what's happening, this is all the accusations I've got against my own brother. So this is the worry here, is psychologically, how is Paul Pogba really coping with everything that's happening?
Where do you rate France going into this World Cup?
Still very, very highly. I mean, I look at the list and we've seen it. I don't want to repeat it. There's so many great players that are missing. I don't really care all that much what's happening in these matches, although I think it's significant that they've lost to Denmark home and away. And of course, France have Denmark in the groups. First game's Australia. I believe Denmark comes after that. I think psychologically that may be important. But in terms of Paul Pogba, look, I have not been a big fan of his on a club level football, Manchester United. I thought his mentality, for whatever reasons, and I don't know them, was very, very weak. He didn't show the character to fight through. He was always injured, so that's one thing. But look, every time I've seen for France, it's a different player and it's a different French team. I think if he has peace of mind, if he's healthy, France certainly are a much bigger favorite to again win the World Cup than they are without him. Not to say that they don't have the talent. So hopefully he's back. The one thing I would say, and boys know better than I do, that at the very least, with everything that's happening on and off the pitch, even Mbappe image rights or Paul Pogba or anybody else, I think they have the right manager. Didier Deschamps has been there. He's done that. This is not Raymond Domenech or all the crazy stories in the dressing room we've heard in the past. So at least steady hand, at least in my opinion.
Jules hates Deschamps, but we haven't got time to discuss that now.
Because
we
want
to
talk about... That's not true.
We've got to talk about Dembélé, Jules. What's the latest on his injury?
Well, it's not really clear. I think he'll have more tests once he goes back to, once back at Barcelona. But I think he was more precautionary than anything else. He felt the pain, didn't train. Do you remember he didn't really train either before the Austria game, then came on against Austria. And I think they just don't want to take any risks. Now, we see so many injuries everywhere, not just for France, but I mean, we've had a lot, but literally every country. And I think they were very, very cautious, very careful. For him, I mean, we saw Maignan, we saw Koundé getting injured in that Austria game as well. So I think Deschamps was like, okay, let's not take any risk. Even if that means having a weaker side against Denmark tonight. No Varane, who stayed on the bench, by the way, because again, they wanted to preserve him. I think he, hopefully for Barcelona, it's more what was the case for Dembélé, more than something that could keep him out for 4, 5 weeks, 3 weeks, a bit like we see with Koundé, Araujo, or even De Jong to a lesser extent.
It's a big concern, isn't it, for Barcelona? Dembélé, obviously questionable, but we know Koundé's out. We know Araujo is going to be out as well for the Clásico, which, of course, is the game between now and the World Cup if you're in a Barcelona shirt. How much does this affect them going into that?
Worry not. They have Robert Lewandowski. That's all.
He can't play defence as well, Janusz. He's got to defend.
Barcelona's not there to play defence. But, of course, I mean, these are big losses, and especially defensively, because if you look at Barcelona, they with Jules Koundé, still trying to figure out what the best position may be. I think it's a centre-back, but could play at right-back. As you've mentioned, Araujo is out. They're just in the process of building that formation in the
PK's
back.
PK's 45.
So that is true. But going forward, I think with Rafinha, Lewandowski, Pedri, Gavi, they have enough options, but certainly a worry.
Just a reminder then, El Clasico is live on October the 16th on Sunday. Be sure to join us on ESPN Plus, the biggest game of La Liga season, and what a clash it should be at the Bernabeu. As Jules mentioned, Croatia with the victory against Austria, which means that France aren't relegated. Let's take you through how they got it done. Luka Modric in the 6th minute, making it 1-0.
Yeah, he continues to play well, it seems. Not just for Real Madrid, but he's not so bad. Croatia, I look at some of the players, they've been there forever. Look at that first touch. Look at the preparation, the composure, no panic whatsoever. I think that does come with age. That's a pretty good header.
Yeah, Bumgarner there with a header to make it 1-1.
That is for sure. So that's 1-1. As you look at this, that in-swinger, sometimes that's all you need to do. Not sure how much you knew about that. Top of the head, it doesn't matter. The slightest touch usually does it. And then Marco Livaja. Another header here, as you look at absolutely free from 2 yards out. You cannot possibly miss that. At least you shouldn't.
Livaja then with a close range header to make it 2-1. The victory was sealed with 18 minutes to go. Dejan Lovren.
Dejan Lovren. It's all about headers. Remember him. I do know that he's still playing, but my goodness. Croatia just keeps on ticking just as we think that they're done.
Yep.
And the cycle's over.
Croatia then win their group. Australia, as a result of that defeat, are relegated. Well, just a reminder, extra time, as always, available over on our YouTube channel. We'll have Jules and Frank and Janusz answering your questions, so be sure to check it out.
Passion, drive and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights and more. Whether you're into speed, power or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't a search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/FC. Just go to Indeed.com/FC right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on the podcast. Indeed.com/FC, terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed. Finished Poland 1, Wales 0. Just a one goal in this. Who scored the goal, Janusz? You're better at this than me.
Karol Świderski.
There it is. And what that means when you take a look at the group, Wales are relegated. Poland survive. Janusz, we were talking before, and this is actually important for Poland, you feel, to stay in this group.
I think it was very important staying in that top division because for countries like Poland, the only way to get better is to continue to play against the best in the world. And of course, when you're in Group A, you're always going to get top teams that would normally probably not play you given a choice, right? So I think we were laughing at France, possibility of dropping England, of course, dropping to Group B. Mm-hmm. Imagine if you thought that Group A games for England were a waste of time. What are you going to say when they have to play in a Group B as well? So I think for Poland, that was very, very important. What's even more important is, as I mentioned, bounce from the game against Holland,
right?
Because it was embarrassing. It really was that bad. Poland usually doesn't play that badly, especially at home. That's been a good place for them, although not in the last three matches.
What's a good World Cup for Poland?
Well, of course, coming out of the group. And after that, it's a lottery.
Right.
It's almost like European Championship 2016, if you remember that great run that was ended in penalties in quarterfinal against Portugal. But up until that point, it was one of those where you almost believed that Poland could have won the whole thing.
Right. You'd fancy them, obviously, to get a result against Saudi Arabia. Mexico aren't on fire at the moment. You've got a fancy chance of finishing second.
Well, it's all about the first game, right? I think Mexico and Poland are fairly even. They're both looking at it the same way, and we'll see. But if Poland wins that, then I think... let's put it this way. They can't wait until the third game when they face Argentina. So that's not going to be good.
Is everyone in Poland now a Barcelona fan?
It's amazing. The shift from watching Bundesliga to watch La Liga is absolutely incredible.
I imagine.
It really is. But credit to him, because I think everybody in Barcelona is watching Lewandowski. So forget the Polish people. They would have watched him regardless. But I think he's doing an incredible job. What he's done at Barcelona, because I think we all wonder, right, changing leagues, being so long in such an environment, Bundesliga, scoring out of boredom, let's be honest, out of boredom in Bundesliga. And look at him now. 8 goals in, what, 6 matches?
Yeah, I was going to say, like, obviously you speak to him, how much is he enjoying it?
He is, but, you know, the key thing with that, because I was thinking about it the other day, watching him a little bit closer, because we all knew, Dan, that he's capable of scoring goals. Mm. But I think when you come to Barcelona, you almost feel, even at the age of 33, almost 34, that you actually have to get better.
Right.
Because there's so much pressure.
That's the challenge.
Today's goal, that pass, and you've seen for Barcelona, backheel goals, the little flicks, the understanding with Pedri. This is something that he didn't do in the Bundesliga. He didn't have to. 4-2-3-1, get the ball wide, cross the ball to Lewandowski. That was the mantra at Bayern Munich. Here, he has to be a little bit of a playmaker. He has to show that he belongs, because there is a special way of playing at Barca. And he never played at that level. So fair play to him.
Who do you think he prefers alongside him? Because obviously we've seen Xavi try a lot of different attackers. Rafinha and Dembele seem to be the main two. Do you think they're the best vehicle to guide him to success?
Either or. I mean, the first question was, is Dembele selfish or is he not? Is he looking for Lewandowski? Because he's used to that. He still needs to get the service, right? I mean, he can do a lot more than we've seen at Bayern Munich, but let's be honest here. He's a predator right in that six-yard penalty box or 8 yards away, and somebody needs to play him that. But I think we've seen that Dembele is capable of doing that. So I think the jury's still out. I know that he hasn't said it. He'll probably never say it. The partnership between him and Pedri is the best.
Right.
This is the bromance that people seem to talk about.
Janusz, thank you very much. Janusz, of course, features a lot during the weekend. Looking back at our coverage and what football's being played, you can check out his videos over on our YouTube channel. Don't forget to subscribe to ESPN FC.
Did you know less than 10% of Americans own an e-bike? Here's why that should change. Studies show e-bike owners actually end up exercising more, plus getting outside more. If you're looking for a balanced lifestyle and everyday adventures, you need to check out Lectric e-bikes. They are the number one selling e-bike brand in America. Their bikes are typically foldable, pre-assembled, and have serious range up to 150 miles on some models. Check them out today at electricebikes.com and add some more adventure to your week. That's electricebikes.com.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the upcoming draft, the playoff intensity, and finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sports book bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Now, elsewhere in the Nations League, the Dutch took on Belgium. Just the one goal in this game, and it would come from Van Dijk with 17 minutes to go. Jules back with us. Jules, the Dutch good for their win?
No, I thought it was a really good game. Belgium had some big chances as well. They could have scored. I mean, the Dutch high line, for all the good things that it can bring you, and especially the way they play, you can also be a bit vulnerable, because even if you've got Van Dijk at his best and Timber and Ake, who were the three at the back tonight, you also leave quite a lot of space, and I think Belgium could easily have scored also in that game. I thought it was really good, very tactical. Roberto Martinez was in the stand because he'd been sent off in the last game, so Thierry Henry was on the bench, as in taking the team for the first time, really. And I thought it was a really good game, but the Dutch are strong. They're a good team. Cody Gakpo came on when Berghuis came off injured, and I thought he was really good, brought a lot. And this is a Dutch team without Frankie de Jong, without Memphis Depay, for example. So there's also not the strongest team that Van Gaal could have put out. But it was a really good game. And in the end, yeah, I think they deserved their win. But they had to fight hard for it.
Dutch looking good, Janne.
Yeah, and just so many options, right? Once Van Gaal is obviously an experienced manager, so I suppose he's the right man for the right team right now, because if you look at Cody Gakpo against Poland, was very good here. He came in because of injuries. But I think it's one of those teams that has so many options that's difficult to read, difficult to prepare for in the World Cup. It's going to be interesting to see if the Dutch can get back into their best, meaning deep run in the tournament as well. Because Memphis Depay, Frankie De Jong, another player that's been playing very well. I think peace of mind maybe that he is with Barcelona, where he always wanted to be. I think I saw that in Warsaw when they play against Poland. He was dearly missed in this game as well, but they've also had a number of injuries during this camp as well.
Who's more likely to win the World Cup, the Dutch or the Belgians, Jules?
It's a good question. I think I think it's hard to talk about dark horses for those two teams, because they are really, really good teams with some amazing players in there. I think the Dutch, because they missed the last World Cup, of course, because the Euros started well and then didn't end well. And Belgium is this golden generation. I mean, Vertonghen played tonight. Mm. Alderweireld played. There's still this golden generation, Witsel, all of them who, every time we say, oh, this could be the last chance, it will be the last chance, certainly for World Cup. Which one is the most likely to go far? I still think the Dutch have more to their game overall, maybe apart from PSV as a goalkeeper, although he did okay tonight. I think I would say that if I had to put some money on one of the two, I think it would be the Netherlands.
We're going to talk about it on your podcast on Monday, Jules. Are you going to work, or you've got another holiday coming up?
I don't know. Gab was in Italy, so he texted saying, oh, I don't have time. I'm just coming back from Italy. I don't know what we're going to lead with tomorrow. So, you know, I need to figure out something on my
Copenhagen
own, because clearly I'm the only captain.
Wow. Yeah, I thought Gab would be much more organised, Jules. That's disappointing. You can check it out,
I'll be
then.
Okay. You know, I'm really the brain behind this team. For sure.
Yeah. Yes, indeed. Gab, definitely the mouth. Be sure to check out the podcast then as it drops on Monday.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
A lot more reaction to what happened with Mexico, of course, more fallout from the US men's defeat against Japan, plus some MLS as well on the latest edition of Football Americas that drops tomorrow. Be sure to check it out. That's it. That brings us to the end of today's show. Fear not, though. There is actually a Football Americas question in extra time, which is coming up after Herc was very nasty to me. Be sure to stay tuned then. Frank, Jules and Janusz here answering your question. Welcome into the latest edition of Extra Time. Thank you very much for your tweets. Janusz Mihalik with me here in the studio. We also welcome Frank Leboeuf and Julien Laurent are with us. Your smile, Frank. There it is. Good. There's a smile. Let's take you through some of the questions, shall we? For everyone, who have you got in a steel cage match between Herc and Dan? This is off the back of Hercules on Football America's having a real go at me, because for 3 days in a row we talked about Christian Pulisic's book. And he said that I was obsessed with Pulisic and I hate him, which is not true. I hate Herc, not Christian Pulisic. But there we are. I don't think I'm a good fighter, Janusz. I don't think I have it in me.
I don't think that Herc does either. I don't think we want to see that fight, because there wouldn't be a fight.
The only good thing with Herc is you could grab him by the ears, because they're plentiful. And maybe kind of do something there. I think that's all right. Jules, you don't come across as a fighter either to me.
No, although I lose my temper quickly, so sometimes you get into situations where you didn't expect it. But I will try to defend myself. But between you and Herc, I have to go for Herc. I'm sorry. I don't know. I think there's sort of Mexican in him that will beat the hell of the English in you for sure.
Well, that's not very nice.
Frank's got that
Frank.
Look. He's got that look. I'll take all of you on.
Greg's frozen.
I give you my full support, Dan, because I don't know Herc. I never met him.
Okay.
So I'm with you.
Thank you very much. You know, wow, Frank.
Go for it, my friend.
I wasn't expecting that. Yeah. Jules, do you think the Dream can be one of the few with enough seniority, experience, clout to keep Kylian in check or call him out? For example, being selfish on the ball, even though he scores, I'm sure teammates get frustrated when he always decides to go for goal, or him acting like a baby, like at PSG?
Well, yeah, that's a good question. I think the dream can be, and has already been.
This is Karim Benzema, by the way, if people don't know.
Karim, the dream.
Yes, Jules has anointed the Dream.
I think it's interesting. I don't know right now if Kylian needs.
That is a complicated question.
Can he call him out?
I don't know if it's another book, The Dream.
It's Karim Benzema, Frank.
He wrote a book?
No, he didn't write a book.
Next.
Is he the player who can control Mbappe at the national team to stop him being such a diva? That's what the question is, basically.
Ah, all right.
I mean,
go, Joe.
Yeah, go, Funky. You go.
No. No, I think it's impossible. I think he became one of the leader of the team, and nothing is capable of stopping him if he doesn't want to. I think he has to come from maybe his family, maybe his coach in France or with Paris Saint-Germain. But I don't think anybody with the national team right now is capable of telling him something that he will listen to. I don't think so.
Jules?
I think there's a lot of respect certainly between Benzema and Mbappe. I think Mbappe really looks up to him. We saw that when Benzema went back with the national team before the Euros, and it was almost like a. I mean, there's a big gap between them, of course, in age, and I think there was Mbappe sort of grew up, if you want, or certainly became a pro and was watching Benzema. Was like, okay, this is the guy, and now for them to play together, for him to play with Karim, I think this is pretty special. So I would want to think that if Benzema says something, but not just with Kylian, with the whole dressing room, I think they all listen and they all do. I think that Frank is also talking the truth too, to be fair. Wow.
What makes you lose your temper, Jules?
I've got very short temper, that's the thing. So I don't like repeating twice the same thing. I think people need to get it very quickly otherwise. And
wow.
Then driving, but like every Parisian drivers, you know, it's the like, yeah, that kind of stuff on the football pitch, or you know, the usual stuff.
Wow, Jules, you come across as quite a calm, collected character, but really, you're a bit
of a... Most of the time, but then, yeah.
I thought he was going to say a question like that would make me lose my temper, but...
Wow. Okay, Frank, as a defender, do you like to defend with a high line or deep?
I like the high line because, especially if you play the contra-pressing and if the forward line, you know, helps you out, you know, and doesn't let it go when they lose the ball, because otherwise you're in danger. But if I play in a high line, what I do, and I always did, I always talked to my goalkeeper to see if he was comfortable to play as a sweeper, let's say, and be very close to us in case the ball was sent in our back. So, but playing a little bit more back onto the field. Puts you in danger because if there are shots from distance, you know, there is not much you can do. So I think the primary when you're a defender is to try to put everybody, all the opponents, very far away from your net.
Where did you prefer playing, Janusz? High line, deep?
I had no pace, so a low.
Right.
Yeah, inside the penalty area. Unless I had somebody special next to me, like if Frank, I mean, he had a little bit, you know, if I had like a Van Dijk next to me,
right.
Then I can press all you want, all day long.
You needed some support.
Not with my pace.
No, you need some backup.
Yeah.
Jules, Alio Cisse has said that all five African teams can create surprises at the World Cup. Which one is the most likely to?
Yeah, I think that's a really good question. I think Al-Youssi is right in many respects. I think Senegal have to be, not just because they're obviously the reigning African champions, but also because that generation is pretty incredible, both almost in terms of quality and quantity, the depth that they have in that squad. So I think Senegal have to be the one. Morocco just changed managers. They also have a good young generation coming through. They've got bowlers in that squad. But I'm not too convinced about the timing and the departure of Aïd Aliloziq as a head coach. I think Tunisia of the five have to be the weaker side, really. I mean, they're in France group with Denmark, and to get out of that group with Australia as well, it's going to be tricky for them. They're probably the ones that that not as much talent as the others. And then Ghana, we saw Ghana, obviously, who struggled against Brazil, but I think a lot of teams right now would really struggle against these Brazil sides. I'm not sure Torado set them up as well to do their best against this Brazilian team. And then the fifth one will be Morocco, Tunisia, Senegal, and Cameroon. With Cameroon, I don't know. It looks some of the key positions are strong. Others, I'm not too convinced. So again, I think for me, Senegal without a doubt. And behind that, I fancy really Morocco. I like what Morocco are doing. Ghana, but we put Cameroon just before Tunisia in the two, maybe lesser talented squad than the other three.
Sorry, Jules, you broke up. Can you just repeat that again?
You asked a question.
Hey, Jules, he's testing. He's testing your temper. He wants to see that temper come out.
Did you like all the help we gave him when he was struggling to get Cameroon? Everyone's like, right, you can do that on your own.
Yeah, you had no clue.
I was listening. Right, for Yanis, do you think Slonina is in Chelsea's future, or is it going to be a similar situation as Matt Miazga?
Could be. I wish him all the best. I think it's a long future at the moment. I think it's going to take a little bit, some time. Obviously, he's going to go. He's going to be loaned out. I'm not sure if he's going to come back to MLS in Chicago Fire or elsewhere. But I think at that club, you have to be a ready goalkeeper. You have to be ready to fight for all the biggest trophies in Europe. And certainly, he is not ready for that.
For Frank and Jules, should we disregard the Mbappe-Neymar feud and occasional melee of the team and get on the PSG train as the favourites to win Europe? Oh, let's start with Jules, who's the captain driver of this train.
But of course, we're going to win the Champions League, but you all know that. I hope you've all, you're listening and going for PSG. I mean, this Frank and Yunus can answer, I think, better than me. I don't think you have to be best friends to win. I think there's a lot of teams, and there've been a lot of successful teams, where not everybody were like brothers, and all going on holidays together, for example, which is an expression that we have in France. When you don't really like each other, you say, "Oh, they're not going to go on holidays together." I think it would help, and I think at times they're okay with each other. At times, they're not. I'm hoping that it's not enough to disturb the momentum and the dynamic of this team and the rhythm of it, especially from March onwards when the key games are going to happen. But yeah, of course it's not ideal. I would rather everybody to be in a Care Bear world and everybody to get on with each other.
Oh, Care Bears. Frank, you said that you played with someone who you didn't speak to for 10 years. What was the trigger? What didn't you like about them? The English?
I play with him in a club. Then I moved, and he joined me in the other club. And I couldn't get along with his spirit, his mentality, the way he was behaving with the coach and his teammates. He was speaking on the back. He was talking to the coach on the back of the players. So I can't stand those people. We didn't talk to each other because I had nothing to tell him and didn't like him. So I was polite saying, let's say hi, but that's it. And I always said, if I have to give you the ball, I'm gonna give you the ball, but don't come to me, don't try to be friend with me because I don't care about you, but we have to be professional and that I'm gonna do my job. But it happened with, and I already said that, with Chris Sutton when he signed for Chelsea. he spit on my face the year before he signed for Chelsea, and then signed, he was playing for Blackburn and then signed for the club. And I say to Denis Wise, no way I'm going to talk to that guy. I'm going to give him the ball if I have to give him the ball, but I don't want to talk to that guy. It's what I did. Well, you know, he wasn't that good, so he left after a year. So everything was okay. But and I never wished him something bad, but I didn't want to do anything good with him. And for Neymar and Mbappe, they can play like that for 10 years, no problem. And when they score, they can even hug themselves, you know. And we don't care, in fact. And we were on the show, Dan, together yesterday, where I said, why do they have to express themselves in the media about that situation? Just be political. Just say, yeah, we're fine. Everything is good in a perfect world. And you don't have to know more.
I thought Kylian Mbappe was a nice guy. Smiling, controversy, Neymar, Pogba, curses, image rights. Boys, what's going on? Is Kylian Mbappe a nice guy or no?
Frank got a selfie with him last year. He loves him.
He's a nice guy.
he's his guy.
I love him.
Frank and Jules, if you were France's coach, would you take Pogba to the World Cup knowing that he has no game fitness?
If I may answer, Jules, I would say no, because physically, how he's going to respond, he's too close to the World Cup because of his surgery and because of his frame of mind. We don't know where we go. We don't know where he stands and how he feels. Of course, I will have a discussion with him and I will decide. But the tendency that I would have is to put him away from the national team, to protect him in a way. Because if you put him with the national team and he's not good, he's going to be hammered by the press.
Jules, Messi is heavily linked to Barcelona again. Do you see him staying at Paris, or will he go back to Barca, or possibly another destination?
Yeah, I think that would be not for now, but certainly the second half of the season, this is going to be a question that is going to come back on the table a lot. I think PSG would try to get him to extend his contract. We know that, so this is his second season. In the contract, there's a third season as an option that will have to be triggered by both parties, so both PSG and Leo Messi. PSG, I think, will want to extend that maybe of an extra year, so having two more years of Messi coming up. For him, I think he will wait for the World Cup. He's already said to PSG, I don't want to talk about future or anything right now until the World Cup has happened and after that. So from January onwards, I think he will start sitting down with his family, with his father, with his brother who represents him, and then make a decision. Would he come back as a player to Barcelona? I doubt it, personally. As an ambassador, that would mean the end of his career. I'm not sure he's ready to call it an end, you know, at the end of this year, for example. So I think if he really enjoys this season in Paris, if they are successful, if they win things, I think there might be a temptation for him to stay, and certainly the club are going to push that side of, look how happy you are now. Look, you've won the World Cup. Look, you've done this, you've done that, whatever. But I think MLS, inevitably, and especially into Miami, where we've explained before, the attachment that he has, the ties that he had with the city, the fact that someone like Busquets, for example, or Luis Suarez could very clearly also be in his luggage going to Inter Miami. So I think MLS and Inter Miami have a huge card to play too in his future.
Final question, Janis. What unexpected team do you think could party crash the World Cup quarterfinals or semifinals?
Quarterfinals, I hate those questions. Unexpectedly.
Janis, you can't complain about the questions. You're not on enough to complain about the questions.
I'm not going to be a hipster here. I don't foresee anybody.
You dressed a little hipster.
Just a little bit different. Yeah. No shirt. I figure, haven't been here for a while, so I didn't know the rules. I thought you'd loosen up a little bit, but apparently not. Just the boys there. Denmark, I could see again. We've seen what they've done in the European Championship. We've seen today. I mean, this is a team that obviously has a spirit and character. I mean, I don't know of crushing it, but Portugal looks good. But quarterfinals are tough. Yeah. I mean, some big teams will not make it there. But I look at Portugal and obviously see a team that's 2-3 deep in talent in every position. Maybe even rival France. I don't know what the boys feel, but
we haven't got time. We've heard enough from them. That's it. That brings us to the end of Extra Time. Thank you very much. ESPN FC back on your screens tomorrow. We'll be reflecting on England's 7-0 victory over Germany. What a performance that was.